Fantastic. Thank you, Andrew, for leading us, Chris, and the band. That was an awesome time of worship. Let me just get myself set up. Great. Good evening. For those that don't know me, my name is Neil. I'm on staff here, and it's just so much fun to be here. Opportunity just to share a little bit in this series that we're going to start looking at over the summer. Has anyone else found themselves starting to go, where's the sun gone? That kind of like, we were kind of like, I've had enough of the sun now. God, it's too hot. Not that I was actually massively. I was loving it. And now it's 2 days. 2 days without sun. And we're like, where's it gone? Come back. I'm already on the onto the BBC website kind of going, what day is it coming back? Where is it coming? Wednesday. Wednesday it's coming back, by the way, if you're not worried. Yeah, just in time for New Wine. It should be great. So I'm looking forward to that. Off this next Sunday. We're going off to New Wine. 50 of us from Christ Church heading down there. So do pray for us that the weather is more like it has been and not that it has been today. That would be great. Brilliant. As Andrea has said, we're starting a new series over the summer. And the series we want to look at is a series on Joseph. Joseph is a character in the Bible that's found in Genesis 37, where it starts. But what we want to do is we want to use Joseph as a lens to look through the last year of teaching. So we've spent this last year looking at a year of growth, and we've looked at all those different aspects and different series. But what we want to use is to look at Joseph and just see where his life reflects some of those things that we've looked at. And there may be some overlap, and there may be some other different angles that we see that we just hadn't quite seen before. And so as we're looking at this series over the next 6 weeks, there may be things that it kind of reminds you to go back and look at again, and then just use the story of Joseph to reflect on how that works out. And so today, we're going to take that idea of thriving and setting ourselves up to thrive. And what does it look like to create an environment to do that through the story of Joseph? So I thought what we'd do to start off with, we're going to have our reading in a minute from Jane. But I thought we'd this particular passage lends itself to a musical. And so I thought we'd hear the story of Joseph from the musical Joseph and His Technicolor Dreamcoat. So turn to the screens and have a little watch. You are allowed to sing along if you want to. Make sure it's loud so we can all sing in.
Joseph's mother, she was quite my favorite wife. I never really loved another all my life. Joseph was my joy because he reminded me of her.
Through young Joseph, Jacob lived his youth again. Loved him, praised him, gave him all he could. But then it made the rest feel second best. And even if they
being told we're also rats does not make us Joseph fans.
But where they have really missed the boat is
we're great guys, but no one seems to notice.
Joseph's charm and winning smiles failed to slay them in the aisles, and their father couldn't see the danger. He could not imagine any danger. He just saw in Joseph. To show the world he loved his son, to make it clear that Joseph was the special one. So Jacob bought his son a coat, a multicolored coat to wear.
Joseph's coat was elegant, the cut was fine.
The tasteful style was the ultimate in design.
And this is why it caught the eye.
A king would stop and stare.
Joseph's brothers were weren't too pleased with what they saw.
We had never liked you all that much before, and now this coat has got our goat. We feel life is unfair.
And when Joseph graves the scene, his brothers turn a shade of green. His astounding clothing took the biscuit.
Quite the smoothest person in the district.
I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art. Such a dazzling coat of many colors. How I love my coat of many colors.
It was red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and olive and violet.
I look handsome, I look smart, I am a walking work of art. Such a dazzling coat of many colors. I love my coat of many colors. It was red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and olive and violet and fawn and violet and gold and chocolate and mauve and cream and crimson and silver and rose and azure and lemon and russet and gray and purple and white and pink and orange and blue.
Fantastic. Awesome. Can anyone do every single colour? No. There you go. Summer practicing. Get it right, and we'll have a competition at the end of the summer. Who can sing the whole thing with every colour in it? Awesome. Great. So I'm going to get Jane up to come and bring us our reading for tonight.
Follow that. Today's reading is from the 37th chapter of Genesis, verses 1 to 11, and it can be found on page 41 in the church Bibles. Joseph's dreams. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father, as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jane. Great. So, looking at the story of Joseph, what I want to do is just bring us a few reflections on Joseph. And I think there's two things, kind of going to get to the punchline first and then come back and lead us to there. But I think there's two areas. One is about healing. And Andrew and I were talking during the worship, and I think there's a sense in which some of that word from the Mark's Gospel reading is going to speak into that, and it's about isolation, but we're going to come to that in a minute. And the second thing is a word of release. So that's the two things I think we're going to pray for tonight. A word for healing for some people, and particularly healing about words and being isolated. And the second thing is about release. So let's get there, and then we'll get into praying. And this is really just a few reflections as I've read through this particular chapter and reading through Joseph. And just how does that fit with this idea of thriving and creating an environment to thrive? And so if we look at Joseph, Joseph is a man who has a dream. He has a dream that sees him, his brothers and all around him, the stars and the moon all bowing down. He has a dream. He's got a father that's looking out for him, that sees him as the favorite, sees him as the one who's going to fulfill everything that his father had dreamed of. He's looked after and protected. It says in the story that he looks after the sheep with his brothers, but actually he doesn't really look after the sheep with his brothers. He stays at home and checks the brothers are looking after the sheep every so often. So he's not actually looking after the sheep. So he's protected and being looked after and kept in a safe place. And then to top it all off, his dad buys him a coat. A coat of many colours. There's lots of different descriptions, not necessarily a coat of many colours. But he gives him something to symbolise this special thing, this special anointing, this special purpose that this one person has. He looks like someone who is set up to thrive. Someone who's going to fulfil all that he can do. All that he's called to do. All that purpose worked out. And kind of in some ways, if he was an only child, that might have worked. But he's not an only child. He's a child that's in a family. And that's where the problems begin. You see, sometimes our setting up and our environment to thrive, we can get so into that place where we think it's about how do we get ourselves all sorted and ready. But it's the environment around us. It's the people around us. It's the community. It's the family. And how does that all operate? You see, Jacob had a favorite, which meant the others weren't. So there was instantly an environment where jealousy was going on. The brothers struggled with that favoritism to the point where they started to even work out how to kill him. They'd had enough of Joseph. They wanted to stop this dream coming true. So that environment meant that Joseph's dreams were going to fail. Even Reuben, who was he trying to do good? He kind of stepped in and was kind of like, we can't kill Joseph, let's just get rid of him. Was he trying to do good? Was he trying to step in and trying to change the situation and say, actually, we need to help him and encourage him? But he didn't quite know how to do that. So he thinks, well, if we just kind of get rid of him a little bit, then we won't have killed him and it'll all be good. So he's trying to step in, but he's not really stepping in. And Joseph's allowed to trumpet over everything else. Look at the calling I have. Look at the dreams that I've got. And to almost say it into the face of his entire family, which just made the situation worse. Ultimately, in that environment, without the father and the brothers there, the dreams might have been fulfilled. But in this situation, without God leading and directing and dealing with stuff that we will look at later, that environment for Joseph was not going to see his dreams fulfilled. But we're meant to thrive. We're meant to be people who thrive. We're meant to live in communities that thrive. And so how do we together create that environment? How do we create places where we encourage each other in their dreams? How do we create places that rather than there's a few that are the exceptions and the great and they've got the dream and I can just kind of sit around in the background? Do we seek after each other's dreams and share with each other and look to seek to encourage each other? How do we create an environment where we are speaking into each other's lives? The things that we can't see. Favoritism in this family was a generational thing. Jacob had been a favorite. And so it passed down into that family. No one stepped in and went, this is not good. We need to be a community that see those things and speak it out. See those things and bring freedom from it so that we all thrive, we all grow. Not just the few, not just the one or the two, but each and every one of us thrives. We need to be a community that deal with those issues that hold us back, that hold our community back from being the community it's meant to be, so that this entire people of God in this place is a place where each and every one of us thrives. And so there's a challenge in there. There's a challenge that says it's not just about me and how I get myself set up, but how do we together, within a gathering here, within our communities and small communities that we're part of, how do we celebrate each other? How do we spend time seeking after each other's dreams? What has God called you to? What has he called you to be? How do we create a place where we're dealing with those things and that sin, whether it's generational, whether it's something that we just haven't seen happening? How do we deal with those things that we create a place of thriving for all and everyone? And I think for some of us, we've been in a place where that's been hard. Perhaps it ties in with Andrew's picture and the word from Mark, that we felt a little bit like that woman who's kind of lost in a crowd and eventually has the courage to step out and grab hold of Jesus. But we've been isolated, or we've had a dream. We felt like God said something to us and it's kind of been dismissed or swept under the carpet, or, well, it's all part of something bigger. And it may be that you come from other churches and that's where it's been, or it might be even here. But I think God just wants to minister to you and to bring healing into that, where people around you who should be your brothers and your sisters, and they've not been quite what you've needed, or they've not been quite in that place to help you, and you've not been that for others as well. And so I think there's some healing for that and some prayer for that. Some speaking that out so that we can be the people God's called us to be. So that's the first area, is the healing and that sense of isolation and not being really real and part of a community. The second one is that we can look at Joseph and see ourselves through Joseph. But as I was reading this passage and looking at this passage, I felt like there was a word to us all, actually, that we're meant to be like Jacob as well. That God is calling each one of us to create a good community, a good family place where all those that God has given to us can thrive. And I think that looks different in different situations, but for each of us, God has put us in a place. He's put us in a workplace. He's put us in a community. He's put us somewhere where we can be like Jacob, not negatively creating favorites and working that out, but we're called to be people who build community in the places God's put us, in our workplaces, where we're looking at people and we see people and we say, this is who God's made you to be. Whether they are Christians or not, we speak out the good in people. We call them out to be the people who God's made them to be. And I think that's the word that's released tonight, that for some of us, we need to see the places God's put us, the workplaces, the schools, the universities we're at, the houses that we live in, whether it's shared housing, the households that we're in, that God's calling us to not be like Jacob, who creates favorites and destroys a family, but that we're people who see the place that we're in as a place to build family that grows and thrives and sees the kingdom come. And so I think there's a word of release for some of us, maybe all of us, that actually that you know God's calling you to do that in that place that he's put you, to be a person who stands up and changes culture. I used to be, before I, well, intermittently working for churches, and I was a teacher as well. And the classroom, the staff room, is such a negative place. Such a cynical place. And whether that's the culture that we've lived in, it's been created that way. And it's such an isolating place. Often people don't want to come into the staff room because it's so difficult. And I really felt like when I was a teacher that I had to go into that room, into the staff room, and I had to call people, sometimes literally, to come and fill that space and to have positive conversation, to have encouraging conversation, to talk about hopes and dreams, to change the culture of the place that I was in. And I think that's God's calling each of us to do that. To create places of thriving for all those around us, all those people that God has given to us, that changes the culture, that changes the way things are. And so I think that question about the Jacob is people who are kind of saying it can't just stay like this. There must be something that can change. And generally that question says, well, what can I do about it? What can God do through me to change this situation? So I'm going to keep it short and I'm going to keep it brief. And I think that's the two things. I think for some of us, we've got some wounds. Wounds of situations that we've been in. Perhaps that word about isolation, we just need to reach out and grab hold of Jesus. But when we grab hold of Jesus, he draws us into community. He doesn't leave us out there by ourselves, but he pulls us into community. And so there's a word about healing. And for some of us, there's a word about release, about going to be Jacob's into the places God's put us, that builds good, healthy family, that creates environments for people to thrive. Let's just take a moment and allow God to the Holy Spirit just to speak to us. Andrew said earlier, when God is speaking, then often we're kind of just really aware of our heart starts to kind of flutter, and we just know that God is putting his finger on something. And particularly that word about healing and the word about isolation, it may be that it came out and you were kind of like, no, quick, grab hold of that and let's bury it back down again. And I think today's the day just to release it and let it go and allow others to step into that to bring prayer and to bring healing. So I'm going to get us to stand. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. And if the word of release, that sense of going into that place and creating family in those places that causes people to thrive, that was for you, I just want you to come and find some space down here and we'll get some people to pray for you. And if that word of healing is for you, come down this side. Come and find somewhere in the coffee shop down the side there. We'll get some people to pray for you. If even that's too much, then grab someone near you that you know and trust to pray with you. But get someone to do that. So I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to come and just let's start moving. And if it's one person, it's two people, it doesn't matter. And then we'll continue in worship. So Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit.